This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
ولما جاء عيسى بالبينات قال قد جئتكم بالحكمة ولأبين لكم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على عبد الله ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. So it feels like it's been a very, very long time since we did a tafsir class. Subhanallah, I was away for a few weeks and we're resuming the classes on a normal schedule, except that because of the lockdown, what version are we on now? 3.0, 4.0? The latest lockdown in the UK, we're not able to have any public attendance at the class, which means that there isn't anybody really here apart from the masjid staff, cameraman and so on. So once again, I'm giving a class to an empty room. But at least inshallah ta'ala, with these classes, you'll be able to participate on YouTube and using the live chat, you can ask questions. What I would say about the live chat, and I have been meaning to mention this for some time now, is please do keep or have good etiquette when you use the live chat. What I mean by that is, please keep the questions on topic. There's no need to keep pasting the same question again and again. And try not to get involved in discussions back and forward. You wouldn't do it if it was a physical class. You wouldn't sit next to the same person and have a big conversation while the class was going on. So try to keep the live chat to what is beneficial. You know, try not to make it, just back and forward between the students. But, you know, something which is beneficial, questions people have, important comments, things that people didn't understand. The more beneficial it is, the more that we can make use of it, inshallah. So that being said, we are continuing with the tafsir of Surah Al-A'la. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى. There are a couple of issues I wanted to go back to before we move on through the surah to the next ayah where we stopped last time. So going back to the statement of Allah عز وجل, سبح اسم ربك الأعلى. There are a couple of points that I wanted to note. So there is an issue of difference or difference of opinion among the scholars of tafsir about this statement, Sabbihisma Rabbika al-A'la, that you are commanded to glorify or to exalt the name of your Lord, the Most High. So the issue here is the intended command to glorify Allah's name or to glorify Allah? Does that make sense? I don't know if that makes sense to you, if I'm trying to make it as simple as possible. Is the intended meaning to glorify Allah's name or to glorify Allah? So some of the scholars of tafsir, they said, سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. The meaning of it is, سَبِّحْ رَبَّكَ الْأَعْلَى. They said the meaning of it is, glorify your Lord the Most High. And they said that ism here is emphasis. It's there to emphasize the name of your Lord the Most High. But the meaning of it is to glorify and exalt and declare the perfection of your Lord. Another group, they came and they said, no, the meaning here, and among them, if I'm not mistaken, Imam Ibn Jarir al-Tabari, they came and they said, the meaning of ism here is, it's the name that is to be glorified and exalted. And that's because the names of Allah can be abused, right? Is that not true? That the names of Allah can be used wrongly. Didn't Allah Azza wa Jalla say, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا وَذَرُوا الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ. There are people who practice deviancy. They are misguided when it comes to the names of Allah. So Ibn Jarir and others here, they said, سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. What is intended here is to glorify and to exalt the name of Allah. The name of Allah. To be free from imperfection and so on. To declare it to be free of imperfection. So which is the right opinion? Is the command to glorify Allah and the word name is just mentioned as a bonus? Or is it the case that the goal is specifically to glorify the name of Allah? Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he has something about this. He said, rather the correct answer is that true remembrance takes place in the heart, because remembrance, the opposite of remembrance, is forgetfulness. So if the word dhikr, you know, when you hear the word dhikr, you hear the word dhikr, right? Like the dhikr of Allah. What's the opposite of dhikr? What's the opposite of dhikr? Ibn al-Qayyim, he said, لِأَنَّهُ ضِدُّ النِّسْيَانِ. He said the opposite of it is forgetfulness. And the word sabbih, to say subhanallah, is a type of dhikr. So if Allah Azza wa Jal were to mention this, it would have been understood that it was only with the heart and not with the tongue. But Allah Azza wa Jal wanted both of them together. Allah Azza wa Jal wanted you to declare subhanallah with your heart and your tongue. And Allah Azza wa Jal will not accept a person's faith and a person's Islam unless they bring their heart and their tongue. And we know from our aqidah that it's not sufficient for you to simply profess Islam in your heart. You have to say it with your tongue, right? So the meaning of سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى includes سَبِّحْ رَبَّكَ بِقَلْبِكَ. Declare Allah's perfection in your heart, وَلِسَانِكَ, and mention it on your tongue. وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ بِقَلْبِكَ وَلِسَانِكَ, and remember your Lord with your heart and your tongue. So the meaning of the word, the mentioning of the word ism here, is to emphasize that the tongue must be involved and not just the heart. So let's just sort of distill what Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala said here. He said that if Allah had said, سَبِّحْ رَبَّكَ الْأَعْلَى, the understanding would be in your heart, believe and declare in your heart that Allah is free of all imperfections. And so when Allah said, سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ, it emphasizes the heart, and that is the opinion of the first group of the scholars of tafsir, and it emphasizes the tongue, and that is closer to the opinion of the second group of the scholars of tafsir. So it feels like Ibn al-Qayyim, what he's doing here is, it's almost like he's gone right in the middle between the two opinions. And he said, both of them, they have a weight to them. There is a meaning of the ayah, سَبِّحْ رَبَّكَ. Declare your Lord to be free of imperfections. And there is a meaning of the word ism, which is to remember the names of Allah on your tongue. Don't miss your tongue out. Don't let your tongue be silent. It's not just about believing Allah to be perfect. It's not just about believing that Allah is free of imperfections. It's also about professing it on your tongue, saying it on your tongue. And that's why Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned, سَبِّحِسْمَ رَبِّكَ. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, he summarized it. He said, سَبِّحْ نَاطِقًا بِاسْمِ رَبِّكَ مُتَكَلِّمًا بِهِ. He said, say subhanallah, and he pronounce it through the name of your Lord. And pronounce it through pronouncing the name of your Lord. So when you say Allah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Subbuh, Al-Quddus, when you say these words, these names of Allah, that implies something in your heart. It implies that your heart believes that Allah is free of imperfections. So, like Ibn al-Qayyim said, the heart is not enough on its own. Allah doesn't accept Islam in the heart alone. And this is the mistake of the people, by the way, who say that my iman is in my heart. It is not acceptable to Allah. Allah does not accept a person's heart alone. Allah only accepts that your heart is followed by the statement on your tongue and the actions on your limbs, generally speaking, to at least to a minimum extent, at least a minimum amount of actions with your limbs. And that is the reason why Allah said, سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى and not سَبِّحْ رَبَّكَ الْأَعْلَى. And that's why some of them, they summarized it, if I'm not mistaken, Ibn al-Qayyim, he said, سَبِّحْ رَبَّكَ ذَاكِرًا اسْمُهُ. وَذَاكِرًا اسْمَهُ. He said, say that Allah is free of imperfections by remembering His names. And so the depth of meaning in this ayah is very, very deep. It's not just Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. When you say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, there is an aqeedah, there is a belief that is deep in your heart about how Allah is free of imperfections and how Allah deserves to be glorified. And that belief is brought out when you remember the name of Allah and the names of Allah, the names and the attributes of Allah, that there is no one who has these names and no one who has these attributes. From the benefits you can also mention is that salah itself is called tasbih. The salah itself is called tasbih. Yani subhanallah, yani the word subhanallah, the word salah can also be called tasbih. And Ibn al-Qayyim, he brings a benefit in this. He said that if the word tasbih comes with the letter ba after it, the meaning is the salah. And if it comes without the ba, the meaning is dhikr, yani general dhikr. Does that make sense? So can you give me an example when it comes without the ba? Like this surah here, yeah? Sabbih isma rabbika al-a'la. There's no ba, okay? Sabbih isma rabbika al-a'la. So the meaning here is general. In the salah and out of the salah. So in the salah, what is the example of sabbih isma rabbika al-a'la inside of the salah? What's the example of سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى inside the salah? It's in the sujood, right? What do you say in sujood? سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْأَعْلَى inside the salah. What's the example outside of the salah? Do you know? Do you know of a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ did something similar outside of the salah? There is a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he recited سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّ when he we recited إِذَا قَرَأَ سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى قَالْ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْأَعْلَى. He said outside of the salah, when this was recited, he said سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْأَعْلَى. There are some places in the Quran where the sunnah is to respond to what is said outside of the salah, in generally speaking. So do you know any of them? Any of the places in the Quran where the sunnah is to answer what Allah says? Is it not when the person used to make dua for Jannah? Okay, that's good. That's a good example. It's not the one I was thinking of, but it's very good. That whenever the Prophet ﷺ in his night prayer, whenever he would come across the ayah of Jannah, he would ask Allah for Jannah. When he would come across the fire, he would ask Allah to keep him safe from the fire. That's an example, but I'm talking about directly responding. Allah says, سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. You say, سُبْحَانَ رَبِّي الْأَعْلَى. This is one example. The other example is the end of Surah Al-Qiyamah. What's the last ayah in Surah Al-Qiyamah? أَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ بِقَادِرٍ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يُحْيَ الْمَوْتَى. The sunnah is to say, سُبْحَانَكَ فَبَلَىٰ. Glory be to you indeed. And whenever Allah says, by the way, the word alaysa, laysa, the answer to it is bala, right? So the sunnah came that when the last ayah of Surah Al-Qiyamah is read, and it's better to, we say outside of the salah, to make it safer. When the last ayah of Surah Al-Qiyamah is read, أَلَيْسَ ذَٰلِكَ بِقَادِرٍ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يُحْيَ الْمَوْتَىٰ. You say, سُبْحَانَكَ فَبَلَىٰ. Exalted are you indeed. Certainly, you, there, Allah is able to bring the dead to life. Do you know another one? It's a very famous one. The time the jinn did something better. What did the jinn do better than the men? There was an ayah of the Qur'an, the jinn answered it. And the Sahaba didn't. And the Prophet ﷺ praised the jinn for answering it, and the Sahaba, they remained silent. Surah Rahman, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Which of the two... ayat of your Lord do you both deny? And the jinn, they had a response to it. I'm trying to see if I wrote it down or if I remember it by memory. I don't remember it exactly by memory. Maybe I wrote it down later on. But they answered with a response. And we will not deny your ayat. I don't remember the exact words of it. And the Prophet ﷺ praised them for responding like this. And when the jinn, they heard this ayah, the believing jinn, they answered, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. So some of the scholars took from this, that from the sunnah, is for you to also answer it. However, there are places in the Qur'an where there is no sunnah to respond. Like a lot of people respond at the end of Surah At-Teen, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ. There is no sunnah that we know of for saying bala here. The sunnah is in specific places in the Qur'an. And Allah knows best. From the points that I wanted to raise here, we mentioned that Al-A'la here, Al-A'la, is a name of Allah Azza wa Jal. And he said, بِحِسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. Al-A'la is a name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of the scholars of tafsir, they made it here in this surah, they made it that Al-A'la is a description of the name of Allah. But we know from the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, Subhana Rabbi Al-A'la, that the Al-A'la here refers to the Rabb, that Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-A'la. We mentioned also, سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى. The one who created and proportioned. There's an interesting point here that I don't know if I highlighted it very well last time. A lot of the time you hear the scholars of tafsir, they make tafsir by example. So they take a particular example. So for example, they say, سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى. And they say, he created mankind and he made mankind proportioned. The proportions that Allah gave mankind, the balance. Some of them they describe it al-i'tidal. The balance that Allah made, you know, the way that Allah Azza wa Jalla fashioned mankind, the way that, you know, the way that your body is proportioned, the width and the height and the different parts of your body, the way that the length of your arms in compared to your body and the length of your legs in the way that your head, Allah proportioned everything, gave it the right size. Everything matches. But this in reality is tafsirun bil-mithal. It's given an example. It's not, the ayah is much broader than that. Is that everything Allah Azza wa Jal created, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it perfectly balanced and perfectly proportioned for that particular creation. So for example, if you look at a spider, for example, the example that the scholars of tafsir give, they give the person. But even you look at the spider, Allah Azza wa Jal gave exactly the right number of legs. Allah Azza wa Jal made its legs exactly the right size and shape for what it needs to do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of His creation, not just the creation of mankind, in the creation of everything, Allah Azza wa Jal made every single thing in creation balanced. أَفَلَا يَنظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ. Do they not look at the camel, how it was created? We mentioned this in the tafsir of Surah Al-Ghashiyah, the miracles of Allah Azza wa Jal within the, how He created the camel, and the proportion of the camel, and the way the camel has been fashioned and created. It's a sign from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah Azza wa Jal created every single thing with the characteristics and the attributes and the shape that is best suited to it and what it needs. And it's not just the external creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, but also what Allah created internally, the size of your heart, the shape of your lungs and so on. Every single thing that Allah created, He proportioned it perfectly for what you need. And there's subhanAllah, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. In yourselves, there are so many signs if you only looked. There are so many signs of Allah in yourself, in your body, that every single thing of yours is created in exactly the right place and proportion and amount. And also, here some of the scholars of tafsir, they mention the difference between al-khalqu wa taswiyah, the difference between creation and taswiyah. There are different words of creation that are mentioned together in the Quran. When they are mentioned independently, they mean creation. So for example, what did we give? Did we give the example last time? Huwa Allahul Khaliqul Bari' al-Musawwir. So we said that if any of these words were brought in on their own, they would mean Khaliq. Al-Khaliq huwa al-Bari', al-Bari' huwa al-Khaliq. And the Bari' is the Khaliq, and the Khaliq is the Bari', the creator. But when they come together, each one of them has its own special meaning. So here also, الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى, the meaning is different between the two. Al-Khalq here is al-Ijad, that Allah brought it into being. And at-Taswiyah here is like the meaning of al-Musawwir, the one who gave it its form. But the taswiyah, the emphasis here is the balance in the form that it has. The form is not haphazard. Like you don't find someone with his arm sticking out of his back and, you know, his nose coming out of the side of his arm. Allah Azza wa Jal created you with a balance, with symmetry. Allah Azza wa Jal created you exactly as you need to be, with everything in the correct place. And that's a sign from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. I didn't mention the qira'ah of Al-Kisa'i here. Al-Kisa'i, he read الَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. So what's the meaning here anyway of qaddara, fahada. Again, what we probably talked about last time is the scholars of tafsir talk about, for example, that Allah Azza wa Jal decreed and Allah Azza wa Jal guided mankind either to be from the people of as-sa'ada, eternal happiness, or from the people of as-shaqawa, eternal damnation. Allah created you either like that or either like that. But again, this is also closer to being tafsirun bil-mithal, an example. Because otherwise, Allah Azza wa Jal decreed everything and measured everything and guided everything. And the guidance of Allah Azza wa Jal is of many types. Some of the scholars, they looked at it like the guidance of Allah, which is fitri, the natural guidance of Allah. So for example, they talk about when the baby is born, the baby instinctively reaches for its mother's milk. Even from the animals or human beings, many of the scholars of tafsir, they made the tafsir of the ayah like this. They said that the meaning of the ayah, وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى, is that when the baby is born, it immediately goes for its mother's milk. But that is only an example of Allah's decree and guidance. And it's an example which is fitri, right? It's Allah Azza wa Jal placed certain instincts in you. I mean, you look at that baby is born, it comes out from the womb of its mother, it doesn't know anything. Some of the scholars of tafsir, they even mentioned the baby's actual birth itself, the actual birth of the baby. That when the baby is born, how does Allah Azza wa Jal guide, or how does that baby know that it is its time to be born? And how does Allah guide for that process to happen? And subhanAllah, this is talking about the natural guidance of Allah. That's one type of guidance, but that's also not, the ayah is not only in that type of guidance. There's one type of guidance is the fitrah, that Allah naturally guides you to certain things. Like for example, to know what food is suitable for you and what food is poisonous. For example, the animal. You see the animal walks and it knows which grass to eat and which grass not to eat, or which plant to eat and which plant not to eat. Allah has guided, has measured for it and decreed for it, and Allah has guided it. This is a guidance which is fitri, it's natural. There is another kind of guidance. There is another kind of guidance of Allah Azza wa Jal, which is the guidance of Allah Azza wa Jal, which is the guidance of Allah, which is al-hidayah, which is kawniya, or which is Allah Azza wa Jal guiding any according to His decree. Any each one following the decree that Allah has given for it. Whether Allah loves it or whether Allah doesn't love it, but for a wisdom. And this guidance to what Allah Azza wa Jal has decreed, this is the meaning when they say that Allah has decreed people to be wretched. Allah doesn't love for His slaves to disbelieve. But when they did the actions of those who disbelieved, and when they were content with that disbelief and they preferred it over belief, Allah Azza wa Jal guided them to it. And Allah took them to it and caused them to do it after they showed that that was what they deserved. And from the guidance of Allah Azza wa Jal is the guidance of Al-Irshad. That Allah Azza wa Jal shows you the truth and shows you the falsehood. That Allah Azza wa Jal shows you what is true and what is wrong. That is from the guidance of Allah. Whether you follow it or not, that Allah shows you this is right and Allah shows you this is wrong. Whether you follow it or whether you don't, Allah has guided you, whether you follow it or not. Because Allah has shown you what is right and Allah has shown you what is wrong. Which is the ayah I'm thinking of that we mentioned this in? وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Allah Azza wa Jal inspired the soul to know what is fujur, what is evil, what is wicked, and what is taqwa, what is good, what is righteous. Allah showed you and guided you, this is righteous, this is evil. Allah showed you and guided you, this is righteous, this is evil. And then there is hidayat al-tawfiq, the guidance of success, that Allah Azza wa Jal actually gives you the ability to follow it and to implement it in your life and to try to stay upon the guidance of Allah. And that's different from the people who've seen the guidance of Allah and heard the guidance of Allah, but they haven't been given the success to actually follow it. But who does Allah, or to whom does Allah Azza wa Jal give the success to follow? Is it random? Is it just like you're guided, misguided, guided, misguided, guided, misguided? No, it's not like that. Allah Azza wa Jal gives out guidance of tawfiq, yani the success to follow Islam, as a grace and a favor. And He misguides out of wisdom and justice. So from His wisdom and from His justice, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that He misguides and causes people to be misguided after they showed that they preferred misguidance over guidance and they turned away, and Allah Azza wa Jal saw or showed, and it was witnessed from them when they had the choice that they didn't take it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala misguided those people. And all of that comes under the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, الَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. So my point in all of this actually was, my point in all of this was that when you hear the tafsir being given, you sometimes hear just one example, but the wording is much bigger than that. So when the scholars of tafsir, they say Allah guided the people of Jannah to Jannah and the people of the fire to the fire, for example, that's just one example of وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. That's just one example of it. Otherwise, it's much bigger than that. Everything that Allah has guided to naturally, everything that Allah Azza wa Jal has guided and shown the right way and the wrong way, everything that Allah Azza wa Jal has given the ability to follow the right way, all of that, within men, within the jinn, within the animal kingdom, all of that is from the guidance of Allah and the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, الَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. The statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَالَّذِي أَخْرَجَ الْمَرْعَى وَالَّذِي أَخْرَجَ الْمَرْعَى. The one who brought out al-mar'a. Here, get me the translation while you're looking at it there. وَالَّذِي أَخْرَجَ الْمَرْعَى. And here, all of the types of nabatat, zuru', all of the types of vegetation. Do you have something better than that? Wallah, we're going to get all that far through the test, you can see which surah it is. Best I can give is vegetation. What do you have?
Uh,
سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى. Fourth ayah.
Who brings forth green pasture?
Green pasture. Do you have a different? Go into the other translations. Pasture is a better word. The pasture is a better word because the word mar'a, the thing which the animals live off. So pasture is a good word. Okay, we'll go with pasture. وَالَّذِي أَخْرَجَ الْمَرْعَى, the one who brought out the pasture. And all of the different types of pasture, all of the different types of plants, vegetation, farmland, and so on. فَجَعَلَهُ غُثَاءً أَحْوَى. So what happened to that pasture after that? It became غُثَاءً أَحْوَى. What do you have in the translation?
And then makes it dark, stubble, then turn earth, into russet stubble, then doth make it but swarthy stubble, and then makes it...
Okay, so it becomes dark, and it becomes like stalks, like stubble. It dries up and it dies. فَجَعَلَهُ غُثَاءً أَحْوَى. Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, he said, هَشِيمًا مُتَغَيِّرًا. He said that it becomes like هَشِيمًا, it becomes like this dried up stubble, and it changes from its green pasture to becoming dried up and to becoming dark and like stubble. And similarly narrated from Mujahid and Qatada and others, the meaning of ghutha is yabis, that which is dry. فَجَعَلَهُ غُثَاءً نِيَابِسًا. And it becomes, instead of becoming green and moist, it becomes dry, and it becomes غُثَاءً. It becomes غُثَاءً أَحْوَى. The meaning of أَحْوَى is مُتَغَيِّرًا إِلَى السَّوَادِ, something which changes color towards black, and it starts to rot. And it starts to change itself and change its color, so it becomes dark or it becomes black. And so after it was green and after it was moist and fresh and suitable for the animals to eat from, it then becomes dark, it becomes black, it becomes dry, and it becomes shriveled up. Why did Allah Azza wa Jalla mention these two things? الَّذِي أَخْرَجَ الْمَرْعَى, the one who brought out the green pasture and then he made it dry and he made it turn black and shrivel. What's the lesson, or what are we learning from this? That Allah controls everything, no doubt. So one of the things is that Allah Azza wa Jal controls everything. That's one benefit you can take from it. That Allah controls everything. That you need to seek your help from Allah, because Allah is the one who brought out that green pasture. And that green pasture, it reminds you of what? Wealth and, you know, happiness, and you know, your animals are eating all the greenery, and then suddenly what does it become? It becomes dry, it becomes black. There's no longer any benefit in it for the animals. Now you're calling upon Allah to bring you food, to bring you some greenery again. So you realize everything is in the hands of Allah. That's one. Also to realize that the From the things you can learn from it is the deception of this world, right? The way this world is. This world is temporary. This world is not a place where things remain in the same situation. You know, you see a city, a country like this, and you see them, they have everything. They are at the peak of their, you know, of their civilization. And then you see them after 20 years, ghutha and ahwa. And they've been destroyed, they've been turned into rubble, they've been turned into ruins. And there's nothing left of them. As the poet said, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ إِذَا مَا تَمَّ نُقْصَانُ فَلَا يُغَرُّ بِطِيبِ الْعِيشِ وَالْعِيشِ إِنْسَانُ. He said, everything which is perfect will eventually decline. So a person should not be fooled by the pleasures of life. That, you know, you're having a good time and you're thinking, I'm a young person and I've got strength, I've got... But subhanAllah, everything turns like this. The field that was green becomes ghutha'an, ahwa. And so on. From the things also is that whenever Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions the green plants, and then Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions the way that it turns into, you know, it turns into something dry and rotten, that from this also is you learn about the cycle of life and death, right? The way that Allah Azza wa Jalla brings out the dead from the living. يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَمُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ. Allah brings out the dead from the living and the living from the dead. From those dead plants, this is an ayah from Ayatullah Azza wa Jalla. Those dead plants, what does Allah bring from them next year? Green. And those green plants, what does Allah Azza wa Jalla bring them about and cause to happen to them? They die. And sometimes these ayat, what you can learn from them is that this is how Allah Azza wa Jalla deals with His creation as a whole. يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ. Allah brings out the living from the dead. Some of them, they mention this means that Allah brings you to Islam. And Allah Azza wa Jalla brings out the living, i.e. brings out the Muslim from the dead, and from those people whose hearts are dead. Allah brings out from those people whose hearts are dead, Allah brings people who convert to Islam and accept Islam. يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَيُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ. And Allah brings out the dead from the living. And likewise, يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, when Allah Azza wa Jalla causes the people to die and Allah brings the people alive out again. These things you see with the crops, these are signs that you should be aware of, you should remember that the one who is able to bring the greenery and turn it ghutha and ahwa and then bring it back into greenery again is the same one who is able to bring you to life after you had died. And the same one who can cause you to die while you are living now. So all of this is from the things that, and not this ayah specifically, I'm not talking about this ayah, but generally the ayat that talk about Allah Azza wa Jalla talks about the greenery and Allah talks about how it rots and then how Allah brings it alive again. All of this is from the benefits that Allah is in control of everything, not to be deceived by the temporary nature of this dunya, and also to understand that Allah Azza wa Jalla is capable and able, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to bring out that which is alive from that which is dead and that which is dead from that which is alive. And likewise, Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah Azza wa Jalla will resurrect mankind after they had died. These are all from the things which are mentioned in these kind of ayat that Allah Azza wa Jalla alludes to. سَنُقْرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى. سَنُقْرِئُكَ. This is Allah Azza wa Jalla is informing the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and promising that Allah Azza wa Jal will teach the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam the Qur'an so that he doesn't forget it. It's mentioned from Qatada, rahimahullah ta'ala, the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, He did not used to forget anything. And he wouldn't forget what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned to him. And we know in Surah Al-Qiyamah that Allah Azza wa Jalla said, لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به. Don't make your tongue move to try to bring the Quran, like as if the Prophet ﷺ to try to hurry it. He was worried about forgetting what the revelation that he had been given. So he used to keep on repeating it and keep on moving his tongue with it so that it wouldn't go away from him. And Allah promised him, سَنُقَرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى. We are going to give you this Quran. This Quran is going to be recited to you. And you will not forget. You will not forget. And then Allah said, إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ. Accept what Allah wills. So I want to stop here for a minute and ask you, this is a difficult question. A little bit difficult question. سَنُقَرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ. We will, and the Qur'an will be recited to you, you will be taught the Qur'an, and you will not forget it. Accept what Allah wills. So what is the meaning of accept what Allah wills? Does that mean the Prophet ﷺ forgot parts of the Qur'an? Okay, very good. Excellent. So you brought a time where the Prophet ﷺ made a mistake in the salah and the Sahaba, and he said to the Sahaba, why didn't you correct me? Excellent. And he asked them, why did you not correct me? Okay, very good. So this shows us, that's one opinion. What is that opinion? That opinion is the Prophet ﷺ didn't forget. He conveyed the message first. But from those things that he conveyed already, he already taught the people, he could forget for a small amount of time. For example, he told the people an ayah. The people heard the ayah, remembered the ayah, learned the ayah. Then the Prophet ﷺ forgot or was caused to forget about it in the salah. That is not a problem because it comes after the balagh, after he had conveyed it to the people. As for before he conveyed it, it's impossible for him to forget. But as for after he conveyed it, then this is a rarity, but it happened from time to time after he had given it to the people. That's one way of looking at it. How else can we look at this ayah? Yeah, you could say that it's separate. You could say it's istithna'un munqati'. This illa is not connected to the previous ayah. So it means fala tansa, you will not forget. Illa ma sha Allah, yani lakin ma sha Allah. But whatever Allah Azza wa Jal wills will happen. And what, yani this is that it's not connected. These two ayahs are not connected. Does that make sense? That these two ayahs, one of the opinions is that these two ayahs are not connected. What we call istithna'un munqati', there is no direct connection between these two ayahs. The meaning of illa is closer to lakin. Lakin masha'Allah, but it's what Allah wills. And you will not forget. And this is what Allah wills. And Allah wills that you will not forget. Tayyib, there's another opinion though about this. Some of the people said that the meaning of illa ma sha'a Allah here is as it says, accept what Allah wills for you to forget, but that Allah didn't will you to forget anything. For example, there are ayat in which Allah Azza wa Jal said, for example, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا مَا دَامَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ رَبُّكَ. They will live in Jannah Okay? For as long as the heavens and earths remain, except for as long as Allah wills, except for those who Allah wills. And is there anyone that Allah wills that he will go into Jannah and then he will be taken out from Jannah? No. So the ayah is true. It's who Allah wills. But Allah has already told us that he doesn't will anyone to come out from Jannah after they enter it. And Allah Azza wa Jalla said, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا مَا دَامَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ رَبُّكَ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ فَعَالٌ لِمَا يُرِيدٌ. About the people of the fire, that they will be in it forever as long as the heavens and the earth remain, unless your Lord wills. But Allah doesn't will for them to come out. Allah has already told us that he doesn't will for them to come out. So some of them took it like this. They said, إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ, meaning that yes, if Allah did will for you to forget, you would have forgotten, but Allah didn't will it to happen. كُلُّ شَيْءٍ بِمَشِيئَتِهِ لَكِنَّهُ لَمْ يَشَاءَ. Everything is by his will, but he didn't will this. He didn't will it to happen. He didn't will it to happen. And some of them said, as we said, something that you forget and then Allah makes you remember it after that. And this is to show us also how to behave in this situation. The Prophet ﷺ led the prayer and he missed an ayah, and it showed us, we learned the ruling. So it was one thing that happened that Allah Azza wa Jalla caused him to forget it at that moment and then caused him to remember it after that. Like in the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ, فَأَسْقَطَ آيَةً, he missed out an ayah and he said, would you not have reminded me of it? But there's another opinion. And this is the opinion of many of the scholars of tafsir, which we haven't mentioned yet. And that is that the meaning of إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ here is that which is mansukh, that which is abrogated. So Allah Azza wa Jalla said, سَنُقَرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى. You will be given this Qur'an will be read to you, and you will not forget it. إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ مِمَّا نُسِخْ, except what Allah wills from that which is abrogated. وَرُفِعْ, and that which is raised back up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we know there are ayat of the Qur'an, and abrogation is a big topic, but we know that there are ayat of the Qur'an which are abrogated. What does abrogated mean? What does abrogate? What do you understand by the word abrogated? Or mansukha, an ayah mansukha. What do you understand from this word? It's a difficult word, we hear it sometimes. What did Allah say? مَا نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ أَوْ نُنْسِهَا نَأْتِ بِخَيْرٍ مِنْهَا أَوْ مِثْلِهَا. We do not cause an ayah to be abrogated or cause it to be forgotten, except that we bring, okay, kind of like change, yes. So abrogating is something to be removed, right, after it came. So the ayah came and the ayah is removed. And there are different situations of abrogation. So one thing that could be is that the wording and the ruling are both removed. So the words are no longer part of the Qur'an, and the ruling is no longer part of the Qur'an. And there could be a situation where the words are removed but the ruling remains. Can you give me an example of something where the words of the ayat were removed but the ruling remains? Now we don't recite the words. The words are no longer recited. And the Prophet ﷺ stopped reciting them. But the ruling remains. A stoning of the adulterer, stoning to death. It's mentioned from Umar and from others that this ayah was recited in the life of the Prophet ﷺ, that the the married adulterer and adulteress were to be stoned, but the ruling remains. The ruling still exists in Sharia, but it's just that the ayah, the words of the ayah are no longer recited. What about the other way around? The words of the ayah are recited. We still recite them in the Quran, but the ruling is gone. And many examples. Can you give me one example? One example where we... Many easy examples. Where Allah Azza wa Jalla, the words are still there in the Quran, but the ruling doesn't apply. And Allah removed the ruling from it. Okay, the ayat of alcohol, the first ayat of alcohol. So, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَخْرَبُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنْتُمْ سُكَارَى حَتَّى تَعْلَمُوا مَا تَقُولُونَ. Don't come to the prayer when you are drunk until you know what you are saying. Praying, okay. But praying to the Masjid al-Aqsa, is there an ayah that tells you to pray to the Masjid al-Aqsa? There's an ayah that tells you to change, but is there an ayah in the Quran where we still recite the words? I can't think of one. For example, لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِنْ تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبْكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. This ayah, that if whatever you say openly and whatever you keep in your heart, Allah is going to take you to account for it, Yawm al-Qiyamah. Then Allah abrogated it with the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت ربنا لا تؤاخذنا until the end of the ayah. So this the ayah that came three ayat before the end, this ayah was abrogated by the ayat that followed it. Because it says that everything you keep in your heart, Allah is going to punish you for Yawm al-Qiyamah. And then Allah Azza wa Jal answered the dua of the believers and He lightened it for you. That Allah Azza wa Jal will not take you to account for everything that is inside. Yes, some things that are from the actions of the heart, Allah will take you to account, like showing off and so on. But the things that you intended to do that were sins and things like that, some of these Allah Azza wa Jalla has raised from you. So this ayah is an example. Some of them said, لا إكراه في الدين. It's mansukha. But I think the correct opinion is not mansukha. It's just applied differently in different situations. But some of them said the ayah, there is no compulsion in religion, was abrogated by the ayat of jihad. And many, many, many examples in the Quran like this. Surah Al-Anfal, yes, in the ayat when Allah Azza wa Jal said, Al-Ana khaffaf Allahu ankum wa alima anna feekum da'fa. This ayat in Surah, the first ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned how many people, that if there are 20 sabirun, there are 20 patient people among you, you will overcome 200. Then in the next ayah, what did Allah say? Al-ana khaffaf Allahu ankum wa alima anna feekum da'fa. Allah, now Allah has lightened the burden for you. It used to be 20 versus 200. Then it became 100 versus 200. So it used to be one Muslim to fight against 10 of the non-Muslims. Then Allah Azza wa Jal made it one Muslim to fight against 2 in Surah Al-Anfal. Many examples like this. So some of the scholars, they took the ayah سَنُقَرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ. The إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ refers to the mansukh, that which is abrogated from the Quran. That this is what Allah Azza wa Jal caused to be forgotten or to pass away from memory. And that is correct because that's how Allah described it in Surah Al-Baqarah. ما ننسخ من آية أو ننسيها. We don't cause an ayah to be abrogated or forgotten, except that we bring equal or we bring better to it or we bring equal to it. So Allah, this during the life of the Prophet ﷺ, Allah Azza wa Jalla, there were ayat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cancelled during the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is, Allah Azza wa Jalla is fa'alun lima yurid. He does whatever he wants. Allah Azza wa Jalla does whatever he wants. So Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed ayat and kept the words and took the ruling. And Allah revealed ayat and removed the words and kept the ruling. And Allah revealed ayat that he took the words and the ruling. And every time it was replaced by something better or something equal. And what did Allah say about all of that? أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Don't you know that Allah is able to do whatever He wants? Allah can do whatever He wants. And this is from the amazing features of the Qur'an that makes the Qur'an one of the miraculous aspects of the Qur'an. And from the i'jaz, if that's not a great word to use, I don't really like that word, from the ayat of the Qur'an, from the signs that are in the Qur'an, is how Allah Azza wa Jal can remove ayat and ahkam as He wills, but still the Qur'an has no contradictions in it. This is from the amazing, you know, features and miracles that exist within the Qur'an. This referring to the mansukh, this was the opinion of Ibn Jarir, rahimahullah ta'ala. And some of them, they held the opinion, as we said, that the meaning is Allah didn't want you to forget any of it. If Allah had wanted, you would have forgotten, but Allah didn't want for you to forget any of it. The statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, إِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْجَهْرَ وَمَا يَخْفَى. And we'll finish, I think, with this one, because we've been going for a long time. The statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, إِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْجَهْرَ وَمَا يَخْفَى. And Allah Azza wa Jalla knows what is مَا يَجْهَرُ بِهِ الْعِبَادِ. What the servants do openly and what they conceal. And this is not limited to what they say, but it includes what they say and what they do. There are things that people do jiharan or jahran. They do openly. And there are things that people do secretly or hide, or they do subtly. Allah Azza wa Jalla knows the statements and actions that you do openly. And Allah knows the statements and actions that you do secretly. And this includes the recitation that you do openly, the remembrance that you do openly and secretly, the charity that you do openly and secretly, and so on. And again, this is another example where you hear the scholars of tafsir say, for example, the charity, or say the qira'ah, Jahriya and Sirriya, the recitation of the Qur'an that you do openly and quietly. This is all tafsir bil mithal. It's just an example. Otherwise, the ayah is general for everything you do openly or say openly, or everything you do secretly or say secretly. And generally, we shouldn't limit the ayah to one example, but these are examples. And you know, that's how, generally speaking, a lot of the times, that's how the Salaf used to be. You know, it's only later on, in later times, that people started to give, like, you know, try to find a way to cover everything in one sentence. Otherwise, the early generations were not like that. They didn't have that takalluf, that like burdening themselves that I have to cover everything. They just gave one example. Many times, all the time, but many times, they gave tafsir with just an example. Here's an example. This is an example of what we mean. The imam reads qira'ah جهرية قراءة سرية. The imam reads out loud, the imam reads quietly. That's an example. But that's just one example of many examples of what people do openly and what people do secretly. It's also mentioned that one of the benefits in this that you can take also is that Allah Azza wa Jal is not confused by the different sounds and the different languages and the different people speaking loudly and others speaking quietly. And that's part of the tasbih of Allah Azza wa Jal, that Allah is perfect. Allah doesn't have imperfections. So if you imagine when you have a class of students, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى, to Allah belongs the highest example. We don't compare Allah to His creation. But to understand the concept, if you have a class of students, some of them are shouting, some of them are whispering, some of them are talking to themselves. You really struggle with even 10 people. You can't understand what is being said. One person is shouting, the other one is being quiet. One of them is whispering to the other one, one of them is talking to themselves. You can't understand what is being said. But Allah Azza wa Jal understands, even though the whole world, people are screaming at the top of their voices, other people are whispering, some people are talking in their heart to themselves, some people are shouting over other people, yet Allah Azza wa Jal hears every single one of them and knows everything that every one of them said. And that's part of the tasbih of Allah. And he's saying that Allah is perfect. Like Aisha radiallahu anha, she said in the in commenting on the ayah, قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. She said, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي بَلَغَ سَمْعُهُ الْأَصْوَاتِ. She said that exalted is the one whose hearing reaches every sound. When this woman came to complain to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about her husband, قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا, when this mujadila, this lady, she came to complain, she came to the hujra of Aisha, she came to Aisha's apartment, radiallahu anha, and Aisha's apartment was very small. We know it was so small that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray at night, he used to have to move Aisha's legs out of the way to make space for sajda. It was a very small apartment. When she came to tell the Prophet ﷺ about her husband, Aisha said, I couldn't hear what she said. She spoke so quietly that Aisha couldn't hear what the lady said about her husband. And Allah revealed, قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ لَوْجِهَا وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. Allah has certainly heard the statement of the one who came to you to complain about her husband. And she complains to Allah, Allahu yasma'u tahawurakuma, and Allah hears the conversation that happens between the two of you. So this is part of this ayah as well. Innahu ya'lamu al-jahra wa ma yakhfa. Allah Azza wa Jal knows that which is said loudly and that which is said quietly, and that which is done openly and that which is done in secret. So that's what we can mention for this class. If we have any questions, we would do my best to answer them if I know the answer. We will be having the kids' class tomorrow, but we won't be having a normal attendance, just masjid staff only or the camera people, whatever. But there will be a kids' class tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala, which will be on YouTube as normal. And there will also be a class on Tuesday, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala. Just give them a minute if they have any questions.
Do you know why the companions remembered some of the abrogated verses from the abrogated surahs?
Why it was that the companions remembered some of the abrogated ayat? Yes, there is nothing in the Quran that says that the abrogated ayat cannot be remembered. There's nothing that, you know, the meaning is not that Allah Azza wa Jal erases them from people's minds, but that they no longer form part of the Qur'an. The Prophet ﷺ no longer recited them as part of the Qur'an. And it's what's really important to remember is that all of this took place in the life of the Prophet ﷺ. Don't confuse this with Uthman and, you know, with what happened after. Because that's what the Mustashriqun, the Orientalists, they try to do. They confuse you between abrogating the ayat in the life of the Prophet ﷺ and between Uthman and Abu Bakr and, you know, their efforts to preserve the Mus'haf. So they, for example, say that Uthman, you know, got rid of some of the ayat of the Qur'an. This abrogation happened in the life of the Prophet ﷺ. So some of the Sahaba remembered, like they didn't continue to make it part of the dhikr. Remember that the nisyan is the opposite of the dhikr, right? They didn't make it part of their dhikr of the Qur'an anymore, part of their recitation of the Qur'an anymore. But they remembered the incident. They remembered that there was an ayah that said this, that there was a word like this, but they didn't, it wasn't part of their recitation of the Qur'an. So it doesn't mean that nobody was allowed to remember it, that it was completely lost from the people's minds, but that it was no longer part of the dhikr, part of the remembrance, which is the Qur'an. And Allah knows best. That it? Okay. That's what Allah made easy for us to mention for this evening. And Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best. Wa salatu wa salam ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
Jazakumullah khairan for watching. Please subscribe, share, and you can visit muhammadtim.com.